welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And in the second hour of today's show, I'm very pleased to be able to bring you an interview with an organiser of a very important protest that's taking place around Australia, the No Jab, No Pay, No Way protest, which is going to be held outside offices of News Corp in Sydney and in other cities around the country. And the person I'm speaking to today is Damien Poulsen, and he is passionate about people's rights, passionate about the importance of letting people make their own decisions, and no doubt he's concerned as well about the risks that we actually run from taking all the vaccines as scheduled without applying any other thinking to it, without taking into account any of the other research and information which indicates that these vaccines do carry significant risk. And of course, without considering the questions about whether the vaccines themselves do confer the type of protection that most people believe. So they're all really, really important questions. And this is a hugely complex issue, but it's a hugely important issue. To me, it's like it's a foundational human rights issue that should be at the forefront of groups who support human rights, groups like Amnesty International. It should be talked about, because what the government in Australia is proposing is a quite landmark step towards complete state control of the body of a human being, to be able to take it out of your jurisdiction. And this particularly applies to children, because the legislation that they're bringing in will cancel benefits to families who have children who are not fully vaccinated. But what that implies is that your children are out of your hands, that the state has taken over a very vital role of parenting and placed you, the parent, in the position of being a sort of an accessory. You're just there to ensure that the government's policies are put in place. And, you know, in some cases, there are some situations where I agree that laws have to be put into place for basic protection. And we're going to get into some of that to differentiate these harsh, repressive vaccine laws from other measures that might be considered reasonable that are about protecting families and protecting children. So without further ado, let me now introduce my guest for the second hour, Damien Poulsen. Welcome to the show, mate.
Thank you very much, Herod, and thank you for having me on your show. It's an honour to be on the show, and I've been following you for many years.
Oh, terrific! Well, I'm part of a small but important crew there that follows this show. I mean, we have a bit of a niche, and I try to come at these issues with as broad a perspective as possible, without going too far into marginalised or kind of tribal thinking. I try to refer back always to what medical and scientific facts tell us, and I try to encourage people to think clearly and independently. And what we're seeing with the type of legislation of the No Jab, No Pay legislation is actually an assault, I believe, Damien. It's an assault on individuality. It's an assault on people's ability to think for themselves, and it harbors or it indicates something coming, that the type of society that these people want to create is one where we simply switch off our brain and let the government decide for us what is best. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I absolutely agree. It is becoming quite scary now that, I mean, this is a very serious issue that, and it's a very first step as well, but it's a very serious issue around health in Australia. I mean, we are now being told that we are not allowed to decide for ourselves, so to speak, whether we choose to vaccinate or not choose to vaccinate our children. And from a young age, when I was a child, there was only a couple of injections. Now it just seems to be such a massive amount of injections, and there still needs to be a lot of research done for the long-term effects of these vaccines. And I totally believe that, you know, a nanny state is being created in a sense. I mean, you know, the data retention laws were passed recently as well. It's all kind of in the TPP is coming up. So it's all sort of plays a hand.
Indeed.
You know, it is all in sync with each other.
And yet at the same time, we have groups like your group and so many groups questioning vaccines, so many websites putting excellent information out, that it has become a kind of a war of information between government corporate propaganda and private citizens who are counteracting that propaganda. And it seems to me that this is kind of the next phase in this war, is that they're trying to find new ways to punish those who do not comply. But one should always understand that this would not be the end of it. It would never just stop at one point, which we've seen in throughout the history of totalitarian societies, is that once you give them a certain amount, they will then go the next step. And of course, the type of legislation they're preparing now is only
exactly
for children.
Right. When does it end? And this is why, in a sense, we're going back to where it started in Sydney, Australia, is to the Daily Telegraph, because it started there as a campaign in 2012, and now all of a sudden it's a legislation. So now we're, you know, talking about corporate government, as you said, but we're talking about corporations that, you know, seem to have a very big part in what, you know, the government are doing and what laws they are making. And that's why I'm so passionate about this next particular rally, because, and I quote from a story from Claire Hansen, that she says that a report in the Sunday Telegraph, the Sunday Telegraph has scored a massive victory in our vaccination campaign. That was Claire Harvey, April 12, 2015, the Daily Telegraph.
Yes.
So that alone, that, you know, one must read between the lines and kind of say, well, hang on a minute, that who scored the victory? The government, the corporations, the media?
Yes, I've seen that article. I've actually got it here somewhere in my notes. And it's like they are taking credit for it. And indeed, the Murdoch empire is heavily behind the propaganda to on the one hand, try to coerce parents into vaccinating, and also to demonize those who question vaccines, especially those who question it with the background of science, such as Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who was ambushed by a Murdoch writer, Brian Deer, in the UK, with a series of articles which were largely just hearsay and misrepresentations of fact. But it was such a concerted series of attacks that in the end it did have an effect.
Absolutely. We all know that is just, you know, that story seems to be just taken so much out of context. I mean, so much out of context. But look, it has a massive connection with the media and with what the media want. And look, you know, we're blind if we can't see that the media has a massive role in this. I mean, in another, you know, another article, they call us anti-vaxxers are baby killers. I mean, that is just absurd. I mean, all these people are loving, well-informed parents. All the people I've met are loving, well-informed parents, and they just don't want to go down the path of letting a doctor who says, just do this, do that, let's keep in mind, doctors are now going to get incentive payments of, I think it's around $16 for every injection they get, that they give to a child as well. So There's a lot of questions that need to be asked, and we are just the ones asking the questions.
Absolutely. And I think it's excellent that you are taking this directly to News Corporation, because they obviously have a huge financial interest in the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, it's well known. And there is a corporate agenda here to basically sell product. And by having governments captive to the corporate market, obviously it's an incredible boon to these large corporations and including their investors. And so what we see is this kind of collaboration between media and the pharmaceutical industry and the government. And here we are as mere individuals, and our resources are so limited, and yet we are managing, and this is what's incredible, is that we are managing to challenge the status quo simply because there are so many of us and we actually adhere to the truth. And the truth is extremely powerful. What do you have to say to that?
The truth is extremely powerful. My mother said to me when I was a child, she said, Damien, if you're going to lie, you have to have a very good memory. And like the truth will always be exposed because lies don't prosper, and lies can always be found out because one of our mottos is, if there's a risk, there must be a choice. And there is definitely a risk in vaccine. And there's so many times in articles in the newspapers I've read that there's no risk, or there's very minimal risk, and why don't you vaccinate? And it's all about herd immunity, and herd immunity is just a theory anyway. I think we're all smart enough to realize in this day and age in 2015 that money has and definitely drives the world in a massive way. If corporations that put out vaccination didn't have any profit margins just to do with the vaccination part of things, I would definitely trust them a heck of a lot more than I do now. But given that they have a bottom line to adhere to and they have shareholders out there that they've got to get money for, I do get very dubious about letting doctors, pharmaceutical companies, and governments mandate what we should put into our children's bodies and in our bodies. And in saying that as well, there's talk about an adult vaccination register in 2016. That was in the 2015 brought out in 2015 budget.
Absolutely. Look, they won't stop at children. There is no reason why they would stop at requiring children to have mandatory vaccines. Once the principle is in place that we can enforce mandatory vaccination, then it can be expanded to include adults, and it already is in certain professions. If you're, if you're in the nursing profession, if you're in any of the medical professions, although people still do have some options to opt out, but a lot of those loopholes are being closed.
Army is one of those.
Of course, the army being another one, yeah. So it's not a huge step to go from there to basically making it a requirement for any type of tax benefit. There are all kinds of tax rebates that people get. They could just say, look, unless you're up to speed, unless you've had your flu vaccine this year, sorry, but you can't get the whatever benefit rebates there might be in place. We are just going to break. We'll be right back after this very short break. Stay with us. You're with Truth News Radio. Back here with Truth News Radio Australia, and I'm talking today to Damien Poulsen, organiser of the No Jab, No Pay, No Way protest to be held in Sydney in November. And what is the dates there for the protest in Sydney and other cities, Damien?
At this stage, this protest, particular type of protest, given that we have had the first ones in Town Hall and every major city had them in their cities as well, the same type of protest, but we're going to obviously the News Corp this time, but it's the 20th. It's in Sydney, so it's the 20th of November, and it's between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. So that's a Friday afternoon. And we thought last time it was Sunday, but we thought, you know what, let's jazz it up a bit. Let's put it on a Friday afternoon. Maybe not as many people can come, A, but B, we're going to be in an area where there's a lot of people around, and it's a Friday afternoon. It's quite busy.
Oh yeah.
So we kind of just thought, and it's all legal as well. The I've spoken to Surrey's police station. They're going to be there, and it's all, you know, I've filled out the correct forms, etc. But we just thought, let's really hit home this time. Go to where it started, A, and B, do it on a Friday afternoon when it's really busy and it can actually potentially have a lot of impact.
Absolutely. And I do hope that you'll have a camera there and you'll be able to get some good footage. I would definitely be there if I were in Sydney, but unfortunately I'm not. I'm overseas and I just can't come, but I do hope you can have a good camera person.
No, definitely. We've got a very professional film guy who's filmed the other two rallies as well, and we are going to edit it and put it up online almost straight away this time. Because we've got some great speakers coming as well.
Excellent. And, you know, what I would love to actually see is a little bit of debate. You know, if anyone comes forward who wants to take the opposite point of view, that's often quite interesting, but most likely you'll be ignored. But it's great that you have a police permission, because then they really can't move you along.
Exactly.
And I mean, I've done a few similar types of things in Sydney without getting permission, and sometimes you are actually entitled to have a protest without getting police permission.
We are.
But it's great to have it, because it means that it's much harder for them to have you moved on, because you've already done the paperwork. So
yeah, exactly. So look, I mean, I know for a fact in New South Wales, I think other states would be different, but look, it's a notice of intention of public assembly. So that's really out of respect, letting the law of the land know, hey, we're going to be gathering here, we're going to be having a bit of a rally, and, you know, we're just letting you guys know if you want to send some police down. So it's more of a respect thing, but, you know, I've always had a good rapport with Sydney City Events and the police in putting on these rallies, and I always adhere to their regulations and whatnot. So we've never had any issues. We've never had any issues at all, actually, at the rally. So, yeah, it's definitely good to have them on site, and hey, look, maybe they can learn something as well.
Well, indeed. I mean, you'll have the journalists coming in and out of the office there. I've actually been there a lot. I spend a bit of time working at News Corp in an IT capacity. And I know that that all the journalists are in there. They're in the building. And and they'll be very aware of what's going on outside. And, it'd be quite fascinating to know what the conversations are that are going on inside. There is what I've noticed in the media organisations in Australia is there is a huge kind of groupthink that is applied, where people might have their own private opinion, but they won't express it. There'll be a lot of people within News Corp who quietly probably don't agree with these policies, and who certainly wouldn't be getting all the vaccines. But they won't dare to talk about it. And one of the main reasons is that people don't want to talk about it because that they don't want to disrupt the quality of their life. You know, they don't want to disrupt their good job. They're paying off a mortgage. And this is these are the chains. These are the golden chains that bind people. And it's incredible to me, Damien, because we believe that we live in a free society. We believe this is our rhetoric, our myth almost, that we have the gift of free speech, but people dare not exercise it. And that's why you are quite exceptional. I mean, you are one of the very, very few. You are very rare and incredibly important, because you are actually exercising your right of free speech.
Look, it's called compartmentalization, isn't it? And I mean, and also we could throw in the word incrementalization. So basically they're bringing these things in incrementally, and then, you know, the adult vaccination register, and like you said, they'll go on in time, and you won't be able to have certain jobs, or you won't get your tax back, or you won't be able to enter a venue if you don't have your vaccination papers or something like that. But, yeah, everyone seems to be compartmentalized, and you're right, absolutely, that people have their cushy jobs, they've got their nice cars, they've got their bonuses, they've got their holidays, they've got all that stuff, and maybe they don't agree with a heck of a lot of what's going on, but it seems that they don't want to give – look, this is, you know, just talking off the top of my head as such, but this is they don't want to give that stuff up for what they believe in. But me, on the other hand, look, I look, I've got nothing to lose. You know, I don't have a particular type of job that, you know, that would hurt, that, like, no one in my industry of work as such would have any issues with what I'm doing as such. But there, I get that there is doctors and naturopaths and all that, and there are people with daycare centres and people in journalism, et cetera, et cetera. They don't want to speak up, but they – look, you know, people, I'm just passionate about the truth, and, you know, my name is, you know, I'm sure any activist names has been muddied in many ways, and there's lots of stories going around, and that's, you know, that's totally fine. I'm happy to cop the brunt. I've got a tough skin, and I've got a big, you know, a big heart, and definitely have got an armor on to fight for the truth. And that's why my passion is. I'm seriously just passionate about sharing the truth, and I'm just a parent. I'm a parent of 5-year-old twins, and I have a normal job, and I have the same pressures as everyone in life. But, you know, I'm the person that's willing to get out there, and I don't want any reward or any gratitude or anything like that. I just am passionate about it, and I've been passionate about it for the last 8 years in studying. Yeah, let's talk about geopolitical things that are going around the world. You know, much larger things, but this is my deep passion. You know,
and so were you aware of issues with vaccines from the beginning? Have your children received any vaccines, or were you against it from the beginning?
Okay, so many years ago, so 7 years ago, I started researching and looking into, you know, I started getting into the federal, the government elections when Kevin Rudd came into power, and I walked into work one day, I said, what's going on in this government? It just does my head in. I can't comprehend it. You know, one night, Mr. Kevin Rudd, he was staying in power, the next day he's gone. So I said, what's going on? And my mate gave me a couple of documentaries to watch, and from that day forth, I looked at a much larger picture of what's going on around the world, and it's all to do with money, control, power.
Yeah.
And, I looked into everything and many things, but then I had children, and then the vaccination thing came up. So they, and I'm going to put it out there and be honest, when they were born, they had the vitamin K and Hep B. But then I said to my fiance at the time, I said to her, look, give me 3 months, 3 months, and I will solidly research what's going on. After 3 months, I presented the information to her, and we decided point blank that we weren't going to vaccinate. We were going to immunize our children homeopathically.
Yeah.
And then but in that 3 month research, I mean, people say to me, oh, you can't take them to school and you can't do this, you can't do that. So I went, okay, I'm going to ring the Department of Education. I'm going to ring immunised.gov.au. I'm going to ring childcare centres. I'm going to ring, and I did what I call raw research. I went out into the world, and I rung all of these different organisations. And what I realised, all the information comes from immunised.gov.au. NSW.gov.au, and then immunised.health.gov.au, and it just seemed to be such a bias to vaccinate our children. And let's talk about doublespeak for a minute. Immunise and vaccine are two different definitions, and that's where the doublespeak and the government come in. If you don't have your children immunised, you know, my children are immunised. They eat healthy foods. They never get sick. They've got the immunised homeopathically. They're not vaccinated by inoculation of vaccine. They're immunized in other methods. And this is something that does my head in when you read in newspapers. It's like, if your children aren't, I mean, this is in government legislation. You could even argue that too in court, I'm sure of it. If your children are immunized, they can't go to school. Well, you know what? My kids are immunized, because the definition of immunization is exactly immunized, any form of immunization. I can't remember the exact definition off the top of my head vaccine is inoculation by vaccine. That's the definition for it.
So it's an extremely good point you make, and it's one that that I should actually focus on more, and this misuse of language. But clearly the word immunize is used because it sounds softer, and it also sounds like something that people can feel more, that they can depend on more. And, you know, huge kudos to you for what you've done. We're just going to break, and when we come back, I want to get into some more details about the proposed legislation itself and what we can do about it. Truth News Radio Australia, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
back here with Truth News Radio Australia. And the subject today is vaccines and very important information for people in Australia and no doubt of great interest to people overseas. What is going on in this country where we have a government which is set to pass legislation which effectively mandates vaccines for children with no escape clause, no conscientious objection option. It's not being done at the point of a gun, but it's being done with the threat of severe financial penalty, which is really very, very compelling. It's very, very difficult for people to oppose this because of the amount of money that they are going to lose through tax benefits. Now, I'll just read to you from the government page here, immunisation update, no jab, no pay. What are the new immunisation requirements? Now, bear in mind, this has not been passed into law yet. It is still before the Senate, and we still have. There is still one last chance for it to be blocked. But if it does go through, here would be the new requirements. From the 1st of January 2016, parents who do not fully immunise their children up to 19 years of age will cease to be eligible for childcare benefit, childcare rebate, and the family tax benefit Part A end of year supplement. Children with medical contraindications or natural immunity for certain diseases will continue to be exempt. Conscientious objection will no longer be a valid exemption. And there is a new childhood immunisation register, or an expanded one, which is now being created so that they can collate all this information, so they can build this Big Brother database and basically keep an eye on you and make sure that you're doing what you're told. Now, the sort of money we're talking about that people would stand to lose, and this is from the Daily Telegraph, which they're proud of. There's an article here that says anti-vaccination parents face $15,000 welfare hit under no jab reforms. So that means that a family which chooses not to vaccinate its children could miss out on $15,000 of welfare money. So it is an extremely harsh punishment of these people, and it effectively, what I believe, Damien, is that what they're doing with these people is they are eliminating them from society. Because by removing them from eligibility for these basic tax benefits, they're in a way, this is a step towards becoming a non-citizen. This is similar to what happened with the persecution of the Jews under the Nazis in the 1930s. I mean, it is the removal of very basic democratic rights and a step towards making these people non-persons. And, of course, once that's been established, and I've said this before, I just really want to drive it home, is that once that has been established in people's minds, it's not very hard to conceive a policy where children could simply be removed from parents for failing to vaccinate. I mean, if you accept that they've already committed some sort of violation, and it's quite a serious violation to be penalised with all that money, then it's not a huge step to say, well, they've actually committed some type of offence. And then by doing so, they could have their children taken away. And that is not an extreme prediction. It is simply an extrapolation of what is already going into place. But however, we do have the Senate. Now, the Senate is required to pass these bills. And I'll just draw your attention to the fact that the Law Society has actually warned, and this is an article from The Australian dated October 29, 2015, lawyers warn on no jab, no pay immunisation bill. One of the nation's peak law groups is cautioning senators against supporting government plans to strip payments from parents who fail to vaccinate, claiming it is a punitive approach and not in the best interests of the child. Now, this the Law Institute of Victoria, they're not really supporting sceptical views on vaccines, but they are supporting some fundamental principles of human rights. And I believe that there is a good chance that the Senate will take this on board. What do you think, Damon? What are our chances that the Senate will scupper this legislation?
Look, as much as I hate to admit it, I mean, I do believe that we're a marginalised community. In the big scheme of things, we're such a small amount, a small portion of society, small section of society. So, I mean, obviously they've done their figures, and I don't believe when it has got to do with money that the government is that stupid around where they can do make savings. I think they're sometimes stupid around when they spend money, or most of the time.
Yeah.
But, like, let's take a single mother out of okay, so she can't take, she works 4 days a week. She has a child in childcare 4 days a week. She gets the rebate. She's contributing she's a contributing taxpayer. Now she can't work because she has to pay four times the amount, you know, and a lot more money than she was paying.
Yes.
Now she's got to take a child out of childcare, and she can't work. Therefore, she's not contributing to the taxation system, which I kind of thought that the government would want people to be taxpayers and giving them more money so they can, you know, make their budgets or whatever. But so what happens to that person now? Then they're on a minimum wage, and A, the child's not getting any form of social skills, you know, in a large setting. B, the mother is not getting, this is just an example, a hypothetical, but the mother's not paying any taxes. So, and I mean, you are exactly right, that we are becoming more and more marginalized and sort of becoming non-humans. And looking forward into the future, what questions can be asked? You know, are you going to be able to get jobs? Are you going to be, are you going to be accepted in society? I mean, so many people are being marginalized. However, I mean, this movement is growing. Ever since Dr. Tenpenny was cancelled out of Australia, yeah, and bomb-threaded, et cetera, this movement has grown massively. And the national pages that we have, the No Jab, No Pay, No Way, Freedom of Choice, that's growing every day as well. People are waking up. But people, you know what? The biggest thing that stops people from stepping out is fear. Yes. And I have something to say to you guys. There is nothing to fear but fear itself. You know, people say, we can't, we shouldn't do this publicly. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do that. You know what? I haven't had a death threat yet, or a bomb threat, or any threats against me or anything like that. I've had some smear campaigns, et cetera, but just, I encourage people so much just to be bold, step out, organize like-minded groups, get connected, have conversations with friends.
Have you had any negative consequences, Damien, from your stance, whether through, you know, from friends or acquaintances or family or the authorities of any kind? I mean, have you had any negative consequences at all?
There's a couple of bloggers out there that blog, you know, that, you know, we believe that this particular person or entity is paid by big pharmaceutical companies or government or someone, but there is some bloggers out there that have blogged some negative stuff about me, and you know what, honestly, I'm not an angel of how I have lived in my life, and I have, and people have tried to dig up some dirt in my life and try, really, to put it out there, but yeah. I'm not the dirt that they've tried to give is, like, I'm not ashamed of it, A and B,
yeah.
I've repented and renewed myself, and see, it doesn't affect me because I'm open and honest. I mean, I try to be as transparent as I can.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've had some sort of online stuff, but I've never had anyone abusing me or in public, or, I mean, at these rallies, not one person, all of this stuff comes out that we're going to do this or that or whatever. Well, let me just put that into context. No one has actually said that there's been some little sort of hindrances of slight threats and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, no one comes to these rallies and shows themselves. I mean,
yeah,
if people want to come up on the stage on the 20th of November at 2 o'clock, between 2 and 4 o'clock, and have a fair and open and honest debate, any journalist, I put the word out to you guys, come up and let's just have a chat, because this is why we're running this rally. It's a media blackout. We can't get any airtime. Let's just have an open and honest debate about the potential dangers of vaccination and why we are against it, you know, or why we ask questions. Let me just say like that. Why we ask questions about vaccine and why the government is going down this stance, you know?
Excellent. We're just going to break. Sorry to interrupt. We're going to break. We'll be back with one more segment with Damien Poulsen. Really interesting chat today. Stay with us. Truth News Radio Australia. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, and I'm talking today to Damien Poulsen, who's the organiser of the No Jab, No Pay, No Way protest, supporting people's right to choose about vaccines. And the protest will be held on the 20th of November outside News Corp offices in Sydney, in Holt Street, Surry Hills. So if you're listening to this and you're in Sydney, try and get to that protest. It's going to be really interesting, and they're going to have speakers there. And it'll be an opportunity to finally, you know, get out there and express what you think and see other people. So if you're one of the people who has an alternate view but you feel very isolated, this is an extremely important opportunity to kind of reach out and re-engage with the community. Now, Damien, I want to address another issue in the last segment today. I want to just talk a little bit about some of the substantive issues about vaccines. Normally, I don't focus on that too much because most of the people listening already know all the debates. They know the key arguments and they already have the information. But when we are talking and debating this with people who are pro-vaccine and who support the government agenda and the draconian laws that are being brought in place, quite commonly what people say is, well, you know, I agree with it because the science says that this is the case, and therefore, you know, it's not a big deal. And one of the analogies that's often given, and I've seen this in many cases, it comes up a lot, is people compare it to wearing seatbelts. And they say, look, you know, we have laws to make seatbelts compulsory, and, you know, maybe some people disagree with that, but on the whole, people think it's okay to have a law that makes seatbelts compulsory. And they say, well, vaccines are just like seatbelts, right? And so you people who are objecting to making vaccines compulsory would be like people objecting to compulsory seatbelts. And this is actually quite a powerful kind of argument if you don't look at it too closely. I've actually spent a lot of time thinking about this because it's come up a few times. I've got my own views on it. I just want to lay that on you now, Damien. And imagine I'm one of the people who comes up to you in a public format and lays that on you as an argument. What are you going to say?
Well, I was speaking to a lady who used to be a university lecturer the other day, and she's she studied biology, and she, well, one of her very good friends is an immunologist. And look, first thing she said to me, look, the first thing you learn when you're studying, when you're doing any sort of science study, is science doesn't prove anything. So it depends on where the money is at. It depends on what, you know, you can skew results. Oh, sorry. And I was speaking to another lady the other day who has a very good friend who's a statistician. So you can fudge results any way you like. But look, sometimes seatbelts save lives, and sometimes seatbelts can strangle you and kill you. We've got more of a chance of dying in a car-related seatbelt accident than you do of dying from a vaccine-preventable disease. And at the end of the day, my personal passionate response to that is simply, I'm not going to risk injecting into my children certain unknown long-term study, unknown toxins and chemicals into my children that could potentially, and from the own manufacturer's vaccine insert, can potentially cause a lot of issues when, you know, I mean, wasn't Australia declared polio-free in year 2000? I mean, I don't know. The risks outweigh the benefits in my eyes. And my beautiful twins are 5 years old now, and they've had about 5 or 6 minor colds in their entire lifetime. So I can only talk anecdotally in that sense.
Yes.
With my own children, but I don't want to risk potential.
Well, it
dangers
is the,
and
it is the risk,
diseases, and, you know.
I think I just want to highlight one aspect of what you said, because it is in relation to the seatbelt analogy. It's very important to understand that when you put on a seatbelt, you are not injecting something into your body. The seatbelt does not put any kind of chemical into your bloodstream. This is just a very, very important basic fact to understand for people who think that vaccines are the same as seatbelts. They're not the same thing. They're completely different. It's a furphy to actually imply that there is any connection here whatsoever. Now, another very important difference between a seatbelt and a vaccine is that seatbelts can cause injuries if you have an accident. But if you're sitting in a stationary car, a seatbelt isn't going to hurt anybody. You can put a seatbelt on in a stationary car, you're not going to die, you're not going to get strangled, nothing's going to happen. The only time a seatbelt becomes potentially a danger is if you actually have an accident, right? Now, yes. In the case of vaccines, exactly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you get sick, whether you don't get sick in the future. It's from the actual act of the vaccine. It would be like putting the seatbelt on has a certain risk of killing you just by putting the seatbelt on. And even if that's a very, very small risk, and I'm willing to agree it's a very small risk, right? Yeah. I think it's bigger than what most people admit, but it's still a very small risk that it would kill you. But there's a larger risk that you might have some adverse reaction. There's a substantial risk that you'll have some kind of reaction. And guess what? The medical authorities agree, because it's very common for children to have febrile conditions after being vaccinated, and it's actually very common for children to go into convulsions after vaccines. And if you get your child vaccinated and they get a high fever and they start convulsing and you go to the hospital, they say, oh, it's perfectly normal. It happens every time. I mean, it happens often, you know, not every time, but it happens very commonly. After getting vaccines, children get a high fever and convulse. And you're apparently going, really? Is that normal? And they just say, yeah, it's normal. Yeah, don't worry. Just go home. And, of course, in a lot of cases, those children go home and they're okay. But in a certain proportion of cases, those children go home and are never the same again.
Yeah. I've heard it over and over and over again. So, I mean, we could compare it to insurance companies. So, you know, we pay car insurance, and if I don't have an accident, if I pay car insurance, I can drive a little bit more frivolously and a little bit more loosely, because, you know, it's insured, it's all good. But if I don't have a car insurance, I would drive a lot safer. So comparing that to the, if I'm vaccinated, oh, well, it's all good. I can sort of, my kids, or I can go anywhere around the world and go to these third world countries, etc. But if I'm not vaccinated, well, I've got to live a lot more cautiously and eat maybe organic foods or superfoods or whatever to build my immune system. But then again, like, then the counter argument to that would be, well, what if you're driving a car and you're uninsured and you're driving perfectly safe and then someone smashes into you? But the bigger picture here is, there's no comparison to insurances or seatbelts to vaccines. That you cannot compare these different things. I mean, you're right. A seatbelt doesn't inject a chemical into your body through the three layers of defense of the body, which is the mucous membrane, the cutaneous subcutaneous and subcutaneous and mucous membranes of the body. Three layers of defense. A seatbelt doesn't inject into that. So it is a furphy, and it's a ridiculous argument.
It is a ridiculous argument which is constantly used, and it really annoys me, because the people who are using it are often highly educated, and they've been given this little tactic, this little meme to use.
It's a tactic.
A lot of times people don't really engage with it because they feel they're kind of taken, they're blindsided by it, and it's hard to know how to respond when someone puts an argument like that to you.
Oh, it's got me a few times over the years. So,
indeed. And You know, look, it's a no-brainer to see that vaccines potentially could hurt you, because anything injected into the bloodstream can potentially hurt you. I mean, even with the best of intentions, a mistake could be made. And there has been so many cases in third world countries where there's been massive mistakes made, and we can only assume this because maybe they have less rigorous procedures, but there's been shocking cases of thousands of children coming down with polio in India, children being killed by vaccines in Syria. There's a number of cases that have come up where children have either been given the wrong vaccine or been given a dose of something within the vaccine that wasn't meant to be there, right? But the point is that can only happen because they have allowed themselves to be injected, because their parents have allowed their children to be injected. That is a risk. And to say that there is no risk is a complete denial. It is actually the land of madness and complete irrationality to say that there is no risk. And yet there are people who actually take that position as if there is no risk. It is so ridiculous. And it's just something that we have to be absolutely adamant about with no question about it. You know what I mean?
Look, I studied a bit of risk analysis years ago, and there is no such thing as no risk. Yeah. There is no such thing. You can stand in the middle of a field and there is still a risk of getting struck by lightning. There's no such thing as no risk. Every single thing that we do in our life has an element of risk, and I think what people want to do is reduce that risk. Yes. And it's either people reduce that risk by putting vaccines in their body if they want to do that and they know the implications of that, all good and well to them. I support that. That's fine. That's pro-choice. If they don't want to do that and they are well-informed and have done some independent research, hey, I fully support that as well. So, I mean, everything has risk. You know.
And they should be aware of the billions of dollars of payouts that have been made in the United States through the vaccine court that prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that the risk is real, that people do actually get injured by vaccines. We in Australia don't have a system like that, and it's hard to actually get access to the data, but in the United States the data is there and it can't be denied. A certain proportion of people will be injured by vaccines. Some people will be killed by them. And therefore, if a parent decides that they don't want to take that risk and says, no, I don't want to have the vaccine, then if the government forces them to have the vaccine against their wishes and then something happens, that's where we're going to have to end it now, but that's where the real horror lies.
Absolutely. The Royal Australian College of Physicians actually are asking for a bit of a compensation scheme. But look, I encourage everyone to get out there and just support each other and
we are at the end of the hour.
What I'm doing.
Damon, thank you so much. We'll be back next week. Truth News Radio Australia signing off.
Thank you.